Ephesians 6, in verse number 12, of course, these verses are talking about the armor of God and putting it on. And we said our theme for this month in particular here at the church is battling faith. Amen. Battling faith. And last week we talked about how we ought to be willing to stand up in the right way. And we talked about all that last week if you were here. Battling faith, how we ought to be able to be willing to battle and to stand up for some things. Amen. And we talked about one thing specifically last week that we ought to be willing to stand up against, and that is false teachers. Amen. And this week we're going to kind of talk about something else, but along that same theme, I guess you'd say, definitely along the theme of battling faith. But Ephesians 6:12 we read in passing last week, and it says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Amen. Another word, simply this, in a nutshell, our battle is not against a person on this earth. Amen. Our battle is not against flesh. Our battle is not against blood. Like even those false teachers we mentioned last week that may be out there teaching heresies and blasphemies and false things against God's Word and even denying God's Word or denying God altogether. All those things, those people are not our, if you will, what we're wrestling against. They're not really who the enemy is. The enemy, the Bible says, who we're wrestling against is principalities, powers of dark powers, excuse me, principalities, powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. If I had to sum all that up this morning, I would say this, that our main foe, if you will, our main enemy that we are battling against is the devil. Amen. He is our foe, if you will. He is the enemy, if you will, that we are battling against. But this morning I ask you this. I ask you all this question, and I want you to give me your input, okay? And if any of you have a thought on this, and it's just a question just to think about this morning, and I'm going to read it to you exactly the way I've got it here on my paper so I don't misquote what I'm trying to ask you. This morning I ask you, what is the root of all that is evil? What is the root of all that is evil? Everything in this world today, and we see a lot of evil around us. Amen? A lot of evil. Everybody agree with that? Say amen. Every one of us can at least agree on that we see a lot of evil, wicked things around us in this world today. But what is the root of all that is evil?
Money.
Amen. Anybody else? He said money.
Sin.
Amen. David?
Lying.
Lying, that's a bad one too. Amen. We talk about that one. Anybody else got a thought? What's the root of all this evil? The devil. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I'll just be 100% honest with you. Before the Lord gave me this thought this week, and I prayed over it and studied over it and all these types of things, and it kind of began last week just a little bit too, as I was preparing for the message then, the Lord began to show me this. I would have answered, and I'm not criticizing nobody here, okay? I'm just being honest with you about me, okay? It's the biggest thing I'm doing at this moment. I would have said what Brother Neil said. And I think I heard a couple of you others mumble it kind of a little lower. I would have said what he said, the devil. Amen? That's what I would have said. The devil is at the root of all that is evil. And I believe I can understand why I think that way and why some of y'all thought that way. I think that would probably be the number one answer that most people would think of if you was just to ask them, you know, just the general person out on the street, what's at the root of everything that's evil? They'd probably say the devil is. But yet that's not really the biblical answer. That's not what is at the root of all that's evil. That's not a biblical answer, if you will. The really most exact biblical answer, if you will, is this. Turn with me to 1 Timothy, where we was last week. 1 Timothy. And before we read the verses, well, the verse in particular here, as you're turning, I want to make note of a couple of things. A few years ago, I don't remember what year, because I didn't take the time to pay a lot of attention to it to write it all down, because I had enough stuff here already for today. I said I'm not going to go into all that too much. But a few years ago, there was a documentary/movie that came out. And I told you last week I named a few names and things was a little different. And this week will kind of be the same way. But there was a documentary that a guy put out. And the name of it was, and I'm not quoting exactly, but I'm pretty close, "The Root of All Evil." That was the name of his documentary. He said in his documentary, in his movie, the guy's name that made the documentary movie was Richard Dawkins. Okay? Now, if you look him up, he is, and I didn't know this word until yesterday. His word, and I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, he is an etiologist. Okay? That's the closest I can get. Basically studies animal behavior and connects that with evolution. Okay? He produced that movie, so that can probably tell you already what that movie is a little bit about. Because when I Googled Root of All Evil, boom, bang, there it was. That's what popped up, which I thought was really interesting. So anyway, that's what popped up. And they renamed the movie later because he didn't like that name, from my understanding. The God Delusion or something like that, I think, is what it was called. And I have no clue about that, okay? But I just thought that was interesting when it popped up. So anyway, he says basically his premise is in the movie this, that Christianity, God, that religion is the root of all that is evil in this world. That's what that movie's about. Now think about that just for a second. We know that's not the right answer, amen? That's not the biblical answer. Matter of fact, that's the root of all that's right, amen? It's the Lord, God, Christianity, etc. So, all that aside, I don't want to get hung up on that this morning, but I found that interesting as I was looking at some of these things. But I also seen something else pop up when I Googled root of all evil. And I'm not going to give out all the details of this one this morning. I don't feel led to, but I'll just say this. This was probably due to past searches on my computer that this thing popped up, because I know how that works, right? It knows what all you've looked at before. It took me to a familiar website that I've looked at in the past, and I would say this website is one that's more of a conservative line, okay? It's one more of a conservative. Usually everything on there, for the most part's pretty well good, you know? It's one on the more conservative line. But I was very surprised when I took and I said, well, I wonder what this one's saying, just like I did with that example of the documentary. I said, I wonder what this is and what they say the root of all evil is. What is the root of all that is evil? Well, before I tell you what they said, let's read this verse. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 10. If you remember last week, we was here in the same chapter. We talked about verses. We read a few verses here, but mainly focused on verse 3 and 4 and a little bit on 5 is where we stop. But today, down in verse 10, the Bible says, "For the love of money is what? The root of all evil." Notice that. That's the heart of our message this morning. "Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after." And then he goes into the list. And we'll talk about all that in the coming weeks, Lord willing. But in verse 10, he said, "The love of money is the root of all evil." May I say the most biblical answer this morning to the question, what is at the root of all that is evil, is the love of money. Amen? Y'all see that, right? That's what the Apostle Paul said, right? That the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I don't know about y'all. I don't have a problem understanding that. All y'all got that, right? That's not hard. That's not complicated. I think I could explain that to my youngest son, and he probably could almost get it. Amen? You think about the fact that the love of money is the root of all evil. So what's the root of all evil, church? We all agree, right? The love of money. Amen? Now we got that out of the way. That's the answer to the question we asked a while ago. What's the root of all evil? Money. We know the word all means all, right? Okay, we'll get into that more in just a minute for the sake of it. But the website that I found that had an article about this verse was dealing with, is this verse contradiction another verse in the Bible? Okay? And it's not, and I'm not going to have time to get into that because we'd never get into the message this morning. Okay? We know there's no contradictions in the Bible. And of course, the website was not saying there was. Okay? It was explaining the differences and all this and that. But anyway, all that aside, I want to read to you part, and this is me taking out, okay, part, an excerpt of what this pretty conservative website said about this verse in the article that I found. It says, and we read the verse, "For the love of money is the root of all evil," the first part of it, and then we read the rest of it as well. The gentleman in the article quotes the verse, okay? And I'm going to read to you the way he quotes it. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Now, did you catch that? What's the difference? Kinds. In other words, was that a big deal, Pastor? Or are you just making a big deal out of it? Well, I'm making a big deal out of it because I think it's a big deal. When you add or you take a two away from the Word of God, like he said in Revelation, you'll be added the plagues. Or you'll have your name removed out of the book of life, like the Bible said in Revelation. But why is that a big deal from a understanding this verse standpoint? Because there's a big difference between the love of money as the root of all evil. That's the source of all evil. Or saying it's the root of all kinds of evil. In other words, it's the root of all these different kinds. You say, what's the difference? Why does it make a big deal? Well, let me tell you why, because I'm going to read to you the rest of this article. Okay? Not the rest of it, an excerpt from it. Because if you use this verse that I just read to you, this gentleman uses, you don't come to the same conclusion that every one of y'all came to in here this morning when you said yes to what I said earlier. If you use this verse, these words, you come to the conclusion this gentleman does, which is not right. Why do I point this out? Because I did a search yesterday on Blue Letter Bible and I found this out was interesting. And they've got a ton of different versions of the Bible on there. If you want to click and see what all these versions say versus this version and that version. And every single version that I looked up said for the first part of the verse, almost every one of them basically said what this guy quoted right here for the first part of this verse. Even the New King James Version, that some people will say, oh, well, that one ain't so bad. It even says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." And to me, it's just as bad as the others. But anyway, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." That's what it says. Why is that a big deal, Pastor? Because it leads to this line of thinking, if that's what your Bible says. This is what the gentleman said in the article. Paul, that's who wrote the book of 1 Timothy, right? We talked about that last week. Paul did not write. Okay, y'all got the verse in front of you, right? Paul did not write that money is the root of all evil. I'd say amen. Money is not the root of all evil. That's not what your verse says, right? Nor is that what this wrong verse says, okay, that I read to you a while ago. Paul did not write that money is the root of all evil. Here's the problem. Or even, Paul didn't write this, folks. Rub your eyes with me this morning. Everybody take off your glasses. This guy don't go like this. Because I had to do this, okay? Or even, Paul didn't write this, or even that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now y'all going to rub your eyes with me? Paul didn't write that. So if your Bible says that, that's not what Paul wrote. I don't know what to do with that this morning except say something's wrong with this dude. Or either my eyes is wrong, one of the two. Or somebody's reading the wrong Bible here. Amen? I mean, I don't know what else to say it. Somebody's wrong. This is just, you know. He said, Paul did not write that money is the root of all evil. Or even that the love of money is the root of all evil. Instead, we read, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. That's what he wrote in his article. You see, that's why you come to the wrong conclusion if you use the wrong Bible and you got the wrong words. It's important. Every word in the Word of God is important. I took and I said, well, okay. I tried to play devil's advocate for a minute, okay? I said, okay. I said, maybe this gentleman knows more about I do, because I'm not an expert, even though I know he's wrong. I tried to play devil's advocate. I said, maybe this word in this verse, all, don't mean all. I said, maybe, even though we preached about that a few weeks back, right? Remember we preached on all on a Sunday night? Maybe this word all here don't mean all. Maybe it means all kinds. Maybe it don't mean all. So I'm going to play devil's advocate and look at this thing before I say this in front of the church and I make sure I'm right on what I'm saying this morning. So I did a little study. The word root that's used here in our verse, root, verse 10, for the love of money is the root. The word root there means an origin or a source. An origin or a source. In other words, what is the origin of all that is evil? What's the source of all that is evil? What's the origin? What's the root? What's there at it? The root of it. Where does it begin? After all, that's where the plant comes, right? The root. That's where it comes from. But notice the next word, it says the root of all evil. I looked up the word all that's used here, the exact Greek word. And for the sake, I usually don't do this, but for the sake of showing you that I've studied this, what I'm saying, the Greek word is pas, P-A-S, or pas, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And that word simply means this, that's translated all in your Bible. It simply means this, every. That's a good definition for all, right? Every. Whole. The whole kit and caboodle. Amen? I would say in English. The whole thing. Whole. That's a good definition for all, right? The whole thing. And another idea that explains this word all in the Greek is whatsoever. Amen? In other words, all means every, whole, whatsoever. All means all. Amen? But I went into all that for the sake of what we're talking about this morning. The love of money is the root of all that is evil. It's the root of all evil this morning. Not just all kinds of evil, but all evil. Bottom line, period, at the end of the sentence. Everything that is evil today, at the root of it, is the love of money. Amen? The love of money is at the root of every single bit of it this morning. And I thought about, you know, you think what is amazing today about this. There's lots of things I could say this morning about this, but we're going to try to get onto the message here. But the love of money is the root of all that is evil this morning. That is where the beginning of it is. Amen. Everything that's evil is beginning with the root, the love of money. You think about this morning, not just all kinds of evil. There's a difference there that leads you to a wrong conclusion, like that gentleman had in his article. Our battle today is not against flesh and blood, as we've seen in the book of Ephesians. It's against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. We said, really, we sum all that up, and the devil is our main enemy. And may I say that his main attack, if you will, and by the way, the devil's evil. Amen. He's evil. He's evilness all thoroughly. Amen. And you think about, in other words, what is at the root then? The love of money. What is the devil's main mode of attack? What's the biggest thing he uses that's at the root of him and everything in this world that is evil today? Is trying to get people to love money. Amen. Do you see where I'm going this morning? Do you see the connection? That is the devil's tool. That's the root of everything this morning. A lot of times you and I think, well, the root's this or the root's that. Well, the Bible says the love of money is that root. Amen. That's where it's at. Get it down to the root, and it starts with the love of money, if you will. I think that's one reason why all these versions of the Bible that's coming out with this wrong verses and all this stuff in it is there. A lot of them is so somebody can make some money somewhere. Amen? After all, the Bible's the most number one selling book in the whole world and everything else, and they want a piece of the, I hate to say it this way, but pie, right? They want some money off of it. The love of money is the root of all evil, folks, and corrupting the things that the Word of God says. One of the devil's biggest mode of attack, if you will, today, is the love of money. It's at the root of it all. But notice in verse 10 of 1 Timothy, it said this, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after." Notice, if you will, how does the devil take the love of money and get it into mind and your heart and life? How does he use the love of money to get us to go in the evil ways, to get us to go in the wrong directions this morning? That's what we're going to talk about. How does he use, if this is his biggest weapon and this is the root of all that is evil, how does he do it? How does he do it? Well, the verse tells us, and we're just going to look at what the verse says this morning, which while some what? Coveted after. Amen. In other words, the devil will take and he'll try to get you to covet after money. Amen. He'll try to get you to covet after money, monetary, the things of this world. Amen. That is where it begins. He'll try to get us to covet after it. If we took this morning and let's take and go ahead and turn there, if you will, to the book of Exodus chapter number 20. I know you're familiar with the main thought here, but I think the other words around it's important too. Exodus 20 and verse number 17. Even way back in Exodus when God gave the law here to His children, in Exodus 20 and verse 17, one of those Big Ten, as we say, the Big Ten Commandments was this. The last one, number 10 on the list, doesn't mean it was the least important, but the last one on the list, Exodus 20, 17, says this, "Thou shalt not covet." Amen. Thou shalt not covet what? Let's read and see what it says. Thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Giving some examples of things not to covet that often are coveted even today. Amen. Say the Bible ain't relevant today. How many people want a house somebody else has got? How many people look at somebody else's wife and say, "Oh boy, I wish I had her to be my wife." Amen. This is relevant today for sure. "Nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." That sums it all up. Amen. We shouldn't covet anything at all whatsoever. And here back in 1 Timothy 6:10, the Bible said, "Which while some coveted after." In other words, the devil will take money and he will try to get us, and the love of money, he will try to get us to love that money, that dollar bill, that $5, $10, $100, keep on going, amen, the higher the better. He'll get us to take and to try to love that money so much that we will covet it, amen. We will covet it. In other words, what's the word covet mean, Pastor? It means this, to reach, to stretch oneself out, or to give oneself out. In other words, it's like taking and reaching yourself out and giving yourself to something. Amen. I thought about this. We wouldn't use the word covet nowadays in our normal language when describing this, but we would say this, you sell out for something. Amen. You sell out for it. You're willing to give yourself out for it. Amen. To do whatever it takes to get that. And that's the way some people are today for their love of money. Amen. They're willing to sell their soul, if you will, today for money. Amen. They're willing to sell their family, to sell whatever it takes on this earth, to give it all away for what? To get that money. Amen. To get that almighty dollar bill, as some people say. That's what they're after. Coveting it, if you will. Desiring it more than anything else in this world. We would say someone has sold themselves out this morning to loving and desiring money above the Lord and the things of the Lord today. Amen. I think today how many people that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and are born again, washed in the blood, how many people today that are believers? I ain't even talking about the lost at this point, because this is written to the young preacher boy, Timothy. How many believers out there today have taken and coveted and sold themselves out and their testimony and everything else for the Lord, sold it out for a dollar bill? Think about that. I could name some. And I got some that would say, yeah, that was. I got my eyes off what was important. Amen. How many times have you heard somebody admit that before? I got my eyes on this or that or something else. And you look at the root of what they're saying a lot of times, and what does it all come down to be a lot of times? Money. Loving that money more than loving the things of God. You think about simply today, there's a lot of covetousness is one of the ways the devil tries to get us to get this root of all that's evil in our lives. He tries to take and to get us to covet after the love of money. This word covet, I told you what it meant a while ago. How some examples of the devil might try to do this. The devil might take and he might say, you know what? That dollar bill you got in your pocket, don't you love it? Look at that big paycheck you got this week at work. But look at all these bills you got. You can't take and afford to pay your tithe and offerings. I love my money. I need it. I got to have it. Because I've got to have this, 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 this. And a lot of times those I've got to haves ain't got to haves. Let's just be honest. Amen. You think about, they're just things that we desire in our hearts. Amen. That's even like as sad as it is for me to say this, it's true, like I mentioned about Hannah the other day, of how she wanted a child more than anything else in the world, and she didn't have one. But even that wasn't a want. That wasn't something she had to have. That was something she wanted. It wasn't a need. A lot of times we think, you and I think, well, I need this, so I can't give my tithe or I won't have the money for it. No, you don't need that most of the time, do we? We need to give what the Lord says do. You think about today, we begin to covet things. And it causes us, when we take and we begin to love those things, the love of money. When we begin to love money more than loving the Lord, it'll cause us to hold back our tithes and offerings. When we begin to take and to love money more than the loving of the Lord, it'll cause us to take and say, well, I can skip this at church or that at church or this at church or this or that for the Lord in my life because I need to go out and earn that one more dollar. Amen? It'll cause us to do that. Why? Because we love that little bit more. We love that little bit more. I think about there's been times in my life and times in some of y'all's lives that you've given testimony about before, so it's not about me. It's about the Lord. But some of y'all, I could call on a couple of you right now if I wanted to, and I could say, tell me about how you did in your life. You made a decision. I'm going to take and turn down this that would have meant more money, more this, more that, because you wanted to be doing what the Lord wanted you to do.
Amen.
In church, doing what God wants you to do, where God wants you to be. You think about, sometimes, you think about the love of money. It gets us. It gets us all. It gets us all, folks. It gets us all. And sometimes we all have to take a step back and say, uh-oh, this love of money, it's got me. Which while some have coveted after, causes us to covet. But another way the devil takes and he tries to use this thing, if you will, this next part of the verse is really interesting. It says, they have erred from the faith, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith. You think about here that some people, the devil takes that love of money, that's the root of all that's evil. He takes it and he says, here it is. Tries to get a person to covet after it. The loving after that money. Tries to get them to covet after that. To reach out, to desire it, to want it. And when that person does, what happens? Along with that, they begin to err from the faith. Now, I don't know about y'all, when I seen the word err, there's a thought that comes to my mind, and some of y'all's brains work halfway like mine. We're going to test and see. Here's a test. What's the word err mean? A what? I heard you speak up, though. What's the word error mean? That's good.
That means when
go a different path.
Amen. Brother Brent, what's the word error mean? Help me. I know your mind's where mine is.
When you fumble a baseball.
There you go. Amen. An error. Amen. You take and you make an error. Amen. In other words, that ball gets hit. You ought to stop it. There's no reason why. It ain't even one of these, oh, dive over here and catch it type things. And sometimes they even call those errors, which are crazy. But anyway, you know, you take, that's an error. You should have caught it. You should have stopped it. There's no excuse for missing it. The outfielder's standing here like this. Waiting on that ball to come down, and it goes, boom. And they sit there and their face turns red, right? And they feel embarrassed making all these millions, and here's the ball right here. And here they are with their glove right here. An error. That's what I think of, like what some of y'all kind of said in a different way other than baseball. But you think about the error. I looked it up to see what it means here, and it's a little bit different, but it's similar to what one of y'all said, especially that had it pretty close. The word error means to lead astray from the truth. To lead one astray from the truth. And this next word, I think, is kind of a synonym, if you will, for this word error, which I thought was really interesting. To lead one away from the truth, and this tells how they do it, seduce. Seduce. In other words, let me give you an example. Okay? And this ain't going to seduce most of y'all in here, but I forgot I had this last night, but anyway, that's a whole nother story. I feel bad about that now, but anyway. The devil takes that almighty dollar, because that's all. Well, I do have a five. Let me take it back. I'm not going to lie. There was a five in there somehow. But anyway, he takes the almighty dollar. He takes it out, and he says, coveting. Don't it make you want to reach out for it? Wouldn't you like to have that? Right?
I hear you.
Reach out for it. Take it. Get it.
Whatever it takes.
And then err from the faith is, in other words, Brother Brent, well, you ain't going to get you to help me. I know you don't feel good. Brother Donald, come here and help me. Covet is if Brother Donald takes and he reaches out trying to get it. But the devil goes like this. Come on.
You keep running out.
Come on, come on, come on. Come on, I'm going to get you where I want you.
I hear you.
Amen. That's what seducing does, right? He takes that, he sticks it in front of you and says, here it is, don't you want it? You say, oh yeah. He says, well then come here. That's what seducing does, right? Don't you want it? The devil does that with a lot of things, by the way. I'm just talking about this one this morning. I'll let your mind and the Lord speak to you about the others. Don't you want this? Yeah. Well then come here. Well then come here. That's why we say many times that sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go and keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. That's how the devil gets you farther than you ever wanted to go, is he says, don't you want it? You say, yeah. And he says, well, then come get it. Don't you want it? Yeah, well, come get it. And then once he gets to a certain spot, the devil will say, okay, here, I'll let you have it. And the next thing you know, you've erred from the faith. You've been led astray, and you've been seduced by the devil and the root of everything of all that is evil. You see today, that's the way the devil works, doesn't he? The word error means to lead astray or seduce. Think about it. The devil takes this money that is not evil, that's just a tool. Amen? For good or bad. Just like the TV, just like the internet, and just like a lot of other things people want to jump up and down and shout about as being wrong. No, they're just tools. It's how you use them. This piano's a tool. Amen? You can take this piano and you can use it for good. Or you can take this same piano and you can use it for evil. Amen? The same thing's true with this dollar bill. You think about, but that piano don't appeal to everybody, but this right here appeals to everybody. That's why it's the root of all this evil. Everybody in the world it appeals to. You think about the fact today, you say, no, it don't appeal to me. I think you're not being honest this morning. Amen? Because it appeals, maybe some of us more than others, but it appeals. Let's be honest. Let's take all yours away and see how appealing that bill looks. Amen? It looks appealing to us. You think about it causes us to err from the faith, to be seduced away. In other words, and you think about this thought, simply this, we're seduced away, and this is what we begin to love the most in our lives. We say, boy, if I could just get a hold of that. I love that the most. The love of money. In other words, that's what I want the most. That's coveting. That's erring from the faith. You've been seduced and you've been led away. Maybe that's happened to all of us probably at some point, some way in our lives or another. Being led away from the things that we ought to love the most and what's the most important, which is the Lord. And I found interesting what our verse says here, to err from the what? Faith. That's our theme word for this year, faith. You see, today the world tells us this is what you got to live by. You got this, you'll be fine, right? This is all you need to live. But no, the Bible says we're to live by faith. Here we see in this verse that money will cause people to love of it, that take them and cause them to err from the faith that they have in the Lord. Why? Because they begin to simply love it more than they love God. They begin to love the things that this can bring more than the things that God can bring in their heart and life. That's what happens to us. Let's be honest. We wouldn't say today that people err from the faith. I wouldn't use those words in my everyday language. But I think what this verse could say in here that we might would put this way today, we might say that person has backslid on God. They've backslid. In other words, they've been sliding in the wrong direction. Instead of getting closer to God, they've been sliding away from God. If you're sliding away from God, what are you sliding closer to? The devil. You think about simply today, it causes us to err from the faith. But the third thing this verse says, notice it says, the devil takes that love of money, he calls it the covet, to err from the faith. And the third thing, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Pierce themselves through with many sorrows. I thought about this verse is really interesting. Because how many times today do we say and do we hear people say, the devil made me do it? Well, you realize the devil is our number one enemy, as I said earlier. But his number one main method that's at the root of all that is evil is this right here. The love of it. The love of it. In other words, you think about what this verse says. It's real important to notice the exact wording again here because you can misunderstand this too. And pierced themselves. Now, if you pierce yourself, then you've done it, right? You don't say pierced themselves if somebody else has done the piercing, right? Pierced themselves means the fact that these people that he's talking about, they are the ones that have done the piercing in their life. They are the ones that have made the decision to covet after, to err from the faith. They are the ones that now are have pierced themselves through because of the love that they have in their heart and life for money. You think about simply today to err from the faith. Here we see pierce themselves through. Pierce themselves through with what? Many what? Sorrows. I think about how many people in the world today have a lot of money, but yet they're some of the most miserable people in the world. They won't tell you that, but they really are. Sometimes they can't even, you know, go out and do the things that they want to do and different things without taking and having to. In other words, if you'll come do this with me, they have to bribe people to do stuff with them. Or have to wonder all along, and I've thought about this many times, they have to take and wonder, so-and-so that's my friend, are the only reason they're here is because of this? If I was to lose this, would they still be here? Are they really even my friend? Are they just someone that wants my money? Amen. You think about to pierce themselves through. They've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They do the piercing themselves. It's a self-inflicted wound by their love of money, and it's caused many sorrows in their life. In other words, they made the choice to love money more than the other things that we could talk about this morning, the things of the Lord and the things that the Lord that the Bible says are important. And what have they done? They've reaped many sorrows in their life. They've pierced themselves through with many sorrows because of these things. I learned something through all this, and I'll share it with you in just a second. If the desire of your heart this morning is money more than the things of God, then this might be you. Money leads to, I want you to listen to this. The Lord gave me this as I was looking at this week. Money leads to sorrow and not satisfaction. Money leads to sorrow and not satisfaction. That's biblical. You just saw that in these verses. The love of money leads to sorrow and not satisfaction. May I give you more proof? Look at these verses that we quote a lot of times. Look down with me in verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and what? We can carry nothing out. Verse 8 that we quote all the time. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith what? Content. Ain't that interesting that that thought, that truth would be in the middle of those several verses of all this that we're talking about? What is he trying to say here? He's trying to say this. That if you take and the love of money and the root of all this evil is that love of money and you let it get a hold of you and you begin to covet after it and err and be seduced away by it, you're going to have many sorrows in your life, and the money leads to sorrow, not satisfaction, not contentment. Amen? Why do people then that have money, millions and millions of dollars, and many of them have said this, and we could pull it up on the internet and look it up if you don't believe me. I think one was Rockefeller that's really known for saying this. If he could have anything else in the world, what more would it be? And his answer was, one more dollar. Not satisfied. Not satisfied. Money, I'm not preaching against money. Amen. You got money, praise the Lord for it. Amen. You ain't got money, praise the Lord too. That's what I'm saying. Amen. But don't let it, don't love it and don't let it control your life. Amen. You think about simply today, this love of money, boy, it can wreck you and ruin you. Money doesn't bring satisfaction. Money leads to sorrow. Satisfaction only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ being the root of your life. Amen. Him being the root of your life. That's the only thing that can bring satisfaction. There was an old song that was sung years ago, and it says, I'm satisfied with Jesus. So satisfied with Jesus. Said He would be my comfort. Said He would be my guide. Amen. May I say today that are you satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Today I'm satisfied with what God's doing and with what God's going to do in my heart and in my life. Sometimes I look and I don't understand, but that doesn't mean that I can't be satisfied and content and happy with where God's given me and where God's got me at. Don't let the love of money draw us away. Amen. Let's be satisfied with what God has for us today. Money leads to sorrow and not satisfaction. Jesus leads to satisfaction. If the desire of your heart today is in the wrong thing, if it's on money, then you know what it can lead to? It can lead to a lost testimony. That could be one thing where you could be pierced through with many sorrows. A lost testimony. A lost joy of the Lord in your heart and in your life. You could be pierced through by losing your own spouse. How many people today have begun to love money more than God or more than their wife? Amen. And how many have been pierced through because of it? Never around. You think about how many today have lost husbands because of this. How many today have lost, Lord help me and help us all, our children because of this. Because we're never around them. You think about, I'm simply saying today, the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what the Bible says. And you wind up in the end piercing yourself through with many sorrows. They've been led astray and being seduced by the love of money. But notice back, we just read part of it, but notice back in verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. These false teachers, these things that we talked about last week, supposing that gain is godliness. That's what the false teachers tell us, right? Gain's godliness. Doing good, Lord bless you, have lots of money, have no problems, right? That's part of what they say. Supposing, I marked that word in my Bible, that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. We talked about that last week. But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. May I say this as we close this morning, that the love of money leads to covetousness. And the devil will try to get you to covet that. The love of money will take and it'll cause you to err from the faith. He'll use it to seduce you away from where God wants you. And the love of money, it'll take and it'll cause you to, in the end, be pierced through with many sorrows in your life. But may I say today, you say, what's the right side of the coin? If you don't let, by the grace and help of God, you love the Lord more than you love money, then you know what you'll have in your life? Godliness and contentment. You see, when you love the money, these are the things you get. When you love the Lord, you get godliness and you get contentment. What does the verse say? But godliness with contentment is great gain. You see, the false teachers teach money and godliness go together. God says, no, 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 there might be money sometimes. Amen. There's some rich people out there that are good and right with the Lord and doing good. Just because a person's got money don't mean they're evil and wicked. I'm not saying that at all this morning. Don't twist me. Amen. But I'm saying this, that you got to be careful. Amen. You think about simply, there was a man I knew one time, and I didn't plan on sharing this, but there's a man I knew I used to go to church with. And the man had a lot of money. But I heard him many times say this, and I think he said it out of humility when he said it. He said this just to me on several occasions when nobody else was around. He said, you know, I realize God's given me a lot of things. He said, God's given me a good job. Big house, and he had. I enjoyed that house. There were some things around that house, some water and some fish that I really enjoyed. He said, God's given me a good house, you know, blessed me with lots of material things, lots of stuff. He said, but I realized that if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have these things. That guy didn't love money. I don't think he loved money. I think he loved God, and God just blessed him. Amen? There's a big difference between the two. You see, today, folks, godliness with contentment is great gain. Not having great interest in your bank account. Not having great gain in a lot of money. Godliness with contentment is where the great gain is. Money has temporal gain. Amen? Money has temporal gain, as verse 7 says, for we bought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Money brings temporal gain, but you know what? Godliness and contentment, you know what it brings? Great gain. May I say this? It brings eternal gain. Amen? Because that's where the Bible said, and Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, lay up your treasures in heaven, not on things of this earth. Because on this earth, they moth, the rust, the corrupt, all those things. But in heaven, what do? They last forever. You think about today, we've been talking about biblical battle and faith. We talked about false teachers last week, and we all can say amen to that one real easy, I hope. But we need to realize that the devil takes and that he uses as the root of all evil is this right here. And he tries to get every one of us with it because we're all susceptible to it. Amen? We're all susceptible to it. His main mode of attack to cause to lead people astray in many different ways with this one thing. Today I ask you this question, and I know it's one that's piercing, I know it's one that's personal, but I ask you to be honest between you and the Lord. Is the Lord first in your life today? Or have you been led astray? The devil took and did like I did with Brother Donald a while ago, and I'm sorry, Brother Donald. Took and said, come on, take a walk with me. I got something you want. Has he led you astray? Has the devil seduced you today? Are you beginning to be led astray by the root of all evil, the love of money, rather than the love of God, which is the root of all that's good? My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. Most gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.